Well, it's good to be back. I wasn't here last week. If you weren't here, you didn't know I wasn't here, and maybe you were here and you didn't notice either, and that's okay too. I'm so thankful for Adam Peacock who preached. I'm looking forward to it. If you missed his message here soon, it is online and got posted yesterday, so if you want to go back or if you missed it too, you can get to our website. Just so a couple things, because again, we are family. So last week I had the privilege, very last minute, of flying to Orange County. A good friend of mine and someone who especially was one of my best friends as a pastor in town at Refuge Christian Fellowship here. Again, church that as a church, we've done things, and it's been a while now, but we've had worship nights with them, and they were going to partner one Easter with us, but it rained like crazy that year, and so our whole thing was stopped. And then, of course, they joined us, as I mentioned, for the response to the fires and the training. But Char, one of my best pastor friends, he moved back to Orange County, where he's from, and he was commissioned on last Sunday as the new pastor at the church he serves under his, he'd been under his dad, and now his dad's retired, and I had the opportunity to just be there and support him, and that was just great, a lot of fun to do that. So that's where I was, so thankful for Adam Peacock. Some of you have been asking, when are we getting back into Romans, Paul? And the answer is next week, Lord willing, next week. That's my plan, next week. So bring your Bible, bring your Romans journals. If you're newer to the church since we've been in Romans, we'll have some journals for you. And these are the scriptures on one side of the notebook, and then on the other side are just lines. So you can take sermon notes, you can read ahead during the week, and those we give out. So we'll have that next week, but we will be back. Romans 7 next week. Today I want to ask you a question as we start. How's your vision? I'm seeing some in the audience, in the congregation, with a pair of these. And some of you have to wear those all the time. Maybe some of you have invisible ones, right? Like as in contact lenses. I have a pair for reading. And increasingly, like in darker places, I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. If I'm at a restaurant now, I either have to have these to read the bill at the end, and sometimes the menu, or I have to be that guy that gets my phone out and turns the flashlight on to read. I need light. And so on. But how's your vision? And maybe this is just a nice, friendly public service reminder announcement to go get those eyes checked, you know? But now let's be a little more abstract. How's your spiritual vision these days? 2 weeks ago, the first Sunday of the year, as we started 2025, I talked about walking with God through his word in 2025. That phrase, to walk with God, is something we read in the New Testament quite a bit. The Apostle Paul loves to use that phrase. It's just a way of saying doing life. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, especially in Genesis, there's a couple of occasions where the phrase is used of certain people, that so-and-so, and I'm thinking of Enoch, says that Enoch walked with God. Relational. I mentioned in that message that is a phrase that speaks of having an intimacy, a relational intimacy. That's what the author's conveying there. My challenge as we start the year, and I typically do this every year, is to encourage, challenge, and really I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would be the one at work to encourage or challenge or rebuke or, you know, do what he needs to do, to get us to be people of the book, people of this word, that we have 66 books that are part of two testaments or covenants that are filled with poetry and letters, discourse, and biography, and apocalyptic literature, and it takes all of those 66 books made up into two covenants, two testaments, to reveal who God is. This is how we know God. This is how we hear from God most specifically and primarily. And so I want you, I want me, I want us as a church to walk with God, to be relationally intimate with him and to do life with him in his word. And so how's your spiritual vision going? How are you related to his word? And the reading plans are still out there. If you wanted to try the one I do that I recommend, it's a 5-day a week. And if you've already like started and you didn't get beyond 1 or 2 days, it's okay. It's okay to start again. And if that one doesn't do it for you, you know, Lori mentioned the Voice of the Martyrs app. Again, we live in a time where we have amazing resources, and we can have these apps that give us different kind of reading plans, and we can listen to the Bible and read along and be reminded and get our watches notifying us when it's time to read, or, you know, alarms throughout the day. But do what you need to do, and just try, just start. Don't feel guilty because you started and you failed or stopped. The goal is to walk with God through the Word, not just to learn, not just to grow in your knowledge, although that's good, to walk with God. And so in that message and then now today, and you see the word vision on the screen, I just want to encourage us, challenge us, nudge us in a few different areas, because it's a new year. It's a new year. So that one had to do with walking with God through His Word. Well, this morning, for a few minutes, I want to talk to us about sharing Jesus in 2025 and fulfilling the ministry God has given you in 2025. So kind of two topics this morning: sharing Jesus and fulfilling your ministry in 2025. If you have a Bible, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is going to be my launch pad, and I'll work through a little bit of it, but then I'm going to share some things. We're going to hear from one of you in a moment as well. And I'll have a few other scriptures just to kind of remind us of this as well. But let's start in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I've got my glasses on. My vision is ready to read. 2 Timothy 4, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. Just for context, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. This is his second letter to Timothy, and most scholars believe this is the last thing the Apostle Paul wrote before his execution, before he was martyred. Use that word, voice of the martyrs, voice of those who are persecuted and often killed for what they believe. The Apostle Paul was martyred, and this is the last thing that we have from God that he wrote. And when we studied 2 Timothy, it's been years now, that struck me, and I wanted it to strike you. And whenever you get to 2 Timothy, and you're reading, and you're listening, just remember, these are the words of a dying man. And doesn't that change it, like all of a sudden? Like, he knew the end was near, and he had some final things to say. And again, it comes from God, but these words, words of a dying man to Timothy, his apostolic representative that he left in Ephesus to help these young churches and elders and leaders kind of learn and get started. And so as he is nearing the end of this letter, he says this, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound or healthy teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. There's a lot in this text. This is a very important text for most lead pastors like myself, those who are called to stand and open God's word regularly for a church. Important words. We're going to go to verse 5, and I put it on the screen. It's a little hard to read, but you hopefully have it in front of you as well. Again, words from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. That's the immediacy of the context. These are words that were not written to us, right? They were written from God by way of Paul to Timothy, but It's in the Bible. It's not to us, it's for us, though. And it's not that there's our ordained pastor, preachers, you know, in the church, that there's an application to all of God's children. And so I want us to consider that in verse 5. So after talking about and putting this charge there in verse 1, in the presence of God, Timothy, who will judge the living and the dead by his appearing. And now it's Soma Church Community in 2025 on January 19, in the presence of God, who's coming back gloriously and bodily, maybe premillennially, but he's coming. Yeah, do stuff with the word, be ready, you handle the truth, all that. But today, from me to us, from me to all of us, I'm right here needing to hear this too. Verse 5, but especially the last two items. Soma, do the work of an evangelist, number one. And number two, fulfill your ministry. I love how the New Living puts it on the screen as well. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given. So let's start with that first one. That word that makes so many Christians scared. Evangelism. That's why I like this in the New Living. Work at telling others the good news. When we look at it in the ESV, evangelist, right? I mean, there it is. There's that word. And it's, I mean, I love the ESV because it's very literal, trying to interpret the Hebrew of the old and the Greek of the new, but what does that word mean, like evangelist? Well, hopefully if you've been at Soma for a while, you've got some reminders about this word. Our denomination, evangelical, okay, it all comes from this word, evangelism. It is, hang on, put your school hat on for a few seconds. This is a transliteration, so it's not a translation yet. Evangelist is not a translation of anything. It's taking a word and just kind of making the letters fit another language. So what you see on the screen is English letters, right? And that comes from other languages of letters of a word, euangelion. That's the Greek word here. And that word means good news. And so we've talked a lot about that in Romans. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. There's another transliterated word that means good news. And that's what it means. And what is the news? Well, it's the news ultimately about the person and work of Jesus Christ. The person, who he is, second person of the Trinity, his work, his perfect fulfilling of all that God commanded in our place, and then his going to the cross in our place to forgive us for where we fall short. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 says, that he sent his son, sent Jesus, that whoever would believe in Jesus, and who he is in his life, would not die, not perish, especially eternally, not necessarily immediately, but would eternally have eternal life now, but one day with God. So evangelism, evangelical, it's a word that comes from the word that means good news. So to do the work of an evangelist doesn't mean you're going to get paid like Billy Graham or, you know, Greg Laurie or these names of these amazing people that are like official evangelists, but like New Living, again, as they help us interpret, work at telling others good. So some of you may remember years ago now when we went through the book of Acts, we kept coming into this phrase that says that they would preach the good news. And that's actually unfortunate because I know for me, for a long time, when I saw in English the word preach, I thought it was the same as, like here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, because there it says preach, okay? Here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, that word preach means to proclaim. It's the word that comes from a town herald who would come into town and, hey, I've got a news announcement for you. I got something to say. And you know, and everybody would come and gather in the square, courthouse square. What's the town herald have for us? What's the preacher have, the heralder? And so someone like me gets to stand and preach and herald In Acts, when it says it quite often that they, the Christians, went around preaching the good news, it's not that word. It's actually one word that they divide into three, and you might recall I used to translate it as good newsing, because it comes from this word evangel, gospel. They went about good newsing. They went about talking the good news, telling the news of what happened. I had so wanted this morning to have good news that the Chiefs lost yesterday, but I can't give you that good news yet. Maybe next week, right? So that's but in Bible, to share the good news, it's not about the Kansas City Chiefs. It's about Jesus, the person and work of Jesus. Soma, I want us in 2025 to do the work of telling others the good news. I want to do that more. And not just from here. You know, this is easy. It's easy for me to stand up here and tell the good news. It's not so easy at my office to hang out with my coworkers and to start talking about Jesus, you know. Like, you know, how's your family in Philadelphia? Oh, that's good. Well, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, like, how do we do that naturally? I wrestle with that. But all of us are called. And again, don't sit here and go, well, look, no. Writing to Timothy, he was like this leader of a church. This verse isn't for me. No. I think there's application. And Jesus himself, and I don't have these on the screen, but you can write if you're taking notes or just listen. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. And Jesus was sent to seek and save the lost. Or Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. They're a different word, but a one who bears testimony about Jesus. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and so if you're a Christian this morning, if you are saved, if you're justified, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, you're a son or daughter, you are a witness to what God has done. Our faith is not just for ourselves, and as great as it is to gather and to sing praise and to do what we do, we are to share this. We are to be sent out, even as Jesus was sent by the Father. We are to be witnesses because the Holy Spirit has come upon us. We are to do the work, and sometimes it's work. I love that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "Do the work of an evangelist. Work, labor." Sometimes it is. The greatest labor, I believe, and some of you may remember Neil and Judy Brower. They were our district superintendents a number of years ago. And they came when we were still at the school and did a whole workshop with us one day after our service based on a book they wrote together called Pray and Watch. And at the heart of what they taught on evangelism, and I love this and I still believe this, that the first thing we do when it comes to the work of telling others about Jesus is to pray. Is to pray. Jesus said in John 6, verse 44, that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him or her. So my coworkers in my office, my neighbors where I live, some in my extended family, they can't come to Jesus unless God the Father does spiritual behind-the-scenes work, and the Holy Spirit's tied into that, and they have to be drawn to Jesus. And so I need to be praying for that and watching for opportunities to share, to talk, to witness. But that's where the work begins. Praying, God, please draw so-and-so. And we're going to pray that before we dismiss in a moment. We've done that before. That's where it begins. But we need to do this as a church. We need to do the work of it. And again, for some of you, it's easy. Some of you, it's natural. Like, you're evangelists, you're good newsers about things in your life. And all of us tend to be that way. Maybe it's our favorite restaurant, our favorite team, our favorite place to vacation. There are things we all are, Neil's, that are really good at just telling. And so this, again, reveals that Sharing Jesus, doing the work of an evangelism, it needs to come from the overflow of our heart. Again, how's our vision? How's our spiritual walk? If we're walking with Jesus, doesn't mean, you know, everyday sunshine. Life is life. Being a Christian doesn't remove the hardships of life. It just means we know the one who one day is coming back and will fix things, will sustain us. And even that can be key for our evangelism with people. But out of the overflow of our walk with Jesus, we share. I'm going to invite Allison Learis to come up. So last week, last Saturday, SOMA was part of this conference in Sebastopol that we encouraged some of you to go to. And we had about a dozen go from our church, which was great. The lead-off speaker at the conference was a guy named Mark Middleberg, and he's written a lot of books. I see one in Allison's hand there. And as I had the privilege this week now, after my trip and the conference, of talking to people, hey, how was the conference? What'd you like? Several people, including Allison, spoke about Mark Middleberg and about what he had to share on being a contagious person of faith and having a contagious faith. And so, Allison, what was it about what he had to say that sparked something in you? Can you just share for a few moments?
I think his approach was so practical, but also so intellectual. He's a super smart guy. And his message was encouraging, but also super convicting. What he shared, in essence, it's basically, he had a new book, so most of what he was saying that day was taken from his book, I think, but it was really awesome, that there's essentially five different styles of evangelism. And so we kind of went into detail about which each of those styles were. So there's friendship building, which is you're the one who invites people, the one who connects people. You meet up for coffee, you invite them for dinner, you're really skilled at hospitality. Selfless serving, you see the needs, you reach the hardest to reach. Story sharing, your testimony is kind of what you lead with in conversation and relationships. Reason giving, you're the apologist, you're persuasive, you like to argue, you're intellectual. And then truth telling, you get to the point of the gospel. And I think most of us can hear one of those styles and go, oh, yeah, that's me. Like, for me personally, the selfless serving speaks to me way more than the reason giving. But what it does for each of us is it doesn't let us off the hook. You can't just say, oh, well, I don't like to have those kind of intense conversations. I don't like to argue, so I guess I don't have the gift of evangelism. No, we all do. We're all called to be evangelists. But our approach is going to match that personality and going to be a different style depending on who we are. So that's what it was, yeah.
So as soon as I get email from the folks at Hessel that all the video and audio and all those things are edited and published, we'll make some of these available. And I can't wait to listen to that. I actually bought that book after hearing Allison share with me how much, you know, she was challenged by that. But that's exactly, I love that, because we aren't, any of us, all five of those things specifically. We may have touches of some of those, and we're not all the Apostle Paul. And that brings me to this point to just say, and I've kind of touched on it already, this work, the work at telling others, the work that begins with prayer, God draw so-and-so to you, and then the work of figuring out how God's wired me best, we're not left alone, nor are we to do it alone. In fact, here's a little exercise I want us to do. Think for a minute about how you came to faith in Jesus. Go back in time. Maybe it's a little while ago. Maybe it's a long while ago. Do you realize, as you think about your story and who it was that invited you to respond to the teachings of Jesus, the testimony and offer of Jesus, do you realize that there were a lot of people involved? Even if it was one person, you know? you got to where you were somehow. Maybe even if it was, you know, as a little kid in your bedroom with your parent, you know, but even there, God had worked in your parents. Or you did it at Sunday school as a little kid. You had Sunday school teachers, and they had people that had trained them, and you probably heard something. And we didn't, none of us, and if I'm wrong, come tell me, and I'll buy you lunch. But I don't think any of you in this room, you had no knowledge of it all, and then one day, you opened John 3:16 or some other verse, and that's it. You know, maybe. And again, I want to know, and I'll buy you lunch. But most of us, I think, a lot of people were involved along the way, even planting seed, watering the seed, so to speak, until that time finally came when you did believe and thus receive. And not only other people, but the Holy Spirit is truly at work. I love this verse from Acts 16, speaking of Lydia, who was a convert, someone who chose to believe and become a Christian. In Acts chapter 16, great story. It's the story of the first church in what we understand to be Europe. It wasn't Europe at the time, but the city of Philippi is in what is modern-day Europe. And so the gospel, the good news message, made it to the chapter of Philippi. And we have this statement in Acts chapter 16. I'll start reading in verse 11. So, setting sail from Troas, this is Luke writing, but he's speaking of himself, the Apostle Paul, and a few others in their entourage, they made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And here's this verse. One of these women, one who heard us, was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God, which is simply a way to say she wasn't Jewish, most likely, but she was a worshiper. She was drawn to the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, right? And Christianity is the fulfillment of that. And so these women gathered to pray. It goes on and says this: the Lord, not the Apostle Paul, not Luke, the Lord opened her heart. Pay attention to what was said by Paul. And it goes on, and she gets baptized, she opens her home, and speaks of someone who came to faith. But the Lord opened her heart. So people were involved, these ladies, they gathered, and we don't know all that they did, but they prayed, they were God-fearers, they were seeking God, they worshiped God, and along comes this group that had sailed over, and God opened her heart. And God opened your heart when you believed. God opened my heart when I believed. There's Lydia too, a different Lydia. My buddy, we are not alone in this work of telling others. Holy Spirit's at work. He's got to be. So the work begins with prayer. But there's other people. And this is why, for example, when we do hikes, you know, every once in a while, you'll hear me say, hey, the next Soma hike, bring someone that doesn't yet believe and just say, hey, we're going for a hike to such and such park, and you'll get to meet some of my friends. And to see what God does as other people join in getting to know and all of that stuff. But we want to, we need to, I want to, and I need to do the work of telling others the good news about Jesus. And so that's point one. And I'm going to be brief here with the second point. The last thing Paul says there, again, out of the New Living, the way they translate it is fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Or again, in the ESV, fulfill, complete your ministry. And so I just want to ask this question. And again, you don't need to answer out loud, but inside, answer this question. Service mind, what is your ministry? What is your service that God has called you to? God longs for us to fulfill it. And not like to be done with it, but to carry it out, to engage in it fully. Again, new living, to carry out the ministry that God has given you. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. For as in one body, we have many members, right? And the members do not all have the same function. So we, speaking of the church, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Or in 1 Corinthians 12, the other body soma passage, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, of ministry, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. What is your ministry? And one of the great things, honestly, in a small church like ours is that there can be a lot of different kinds of ministries. And yeah, we've got some things that happen on Sunday, right? And there's needs that happen on Sunday. And I mentioned some of those a couple weeks ago, and we'll continue to let you know what those are. And again, let us know if you want to know more and get involved in some of that. But in a church like ours, do you have a vision for something? Like maybe like Alden and Priscilla, where'd you go? There you are. You have a ministry vision for this group of bike riders that come by your house every Tuesday, and you want to invite them to church. And so again, that cookie bag of cookies sticker thing we made, it wasn't because I came up with it or anything. No, that was a ministry of Alden and Priscilla's. And on that, I want to have a conversation sometime soon just to hear how the inviting went. And just because, again, God's at work in that, and we'll do that one of these days in not too distant future. But right? So maybe you aren't, you know, playing up on the platform, but there's other ways God has given you a ministry. And let me know. Hey, I've got this idea. What do you think? And maybe you want to open your home. Lori, who was up here, she shared now a couple years ago. Well, Chris and I, we want to open our home for a home group. Awesome. Let's have you do that. What is your ministry? And it doesn't even have to always be tied to Soma. It's good that we serve in the church. We need to, but maybe God has given you a ministry with your neighbors, with your coworkers. What is your ministry? What is your service? Are you with this, carrying out the ministry that God has given you? I want to charge us with this. That's how Paul starts this chapter, 2 Timothy 4, with a charge to Timothy. And so I'm charging us as a church, and I'm first in line. Let's work in 2025 at telling others the good news. Let's fully carry out our ministry. And I intend to pepper these thoughts in throughout the year, to keep reminding us, to keep giving opportunities, to keep asking for your ideas, to challenge us and equip us in sharing the good news, all of that. And again, not to forget either to have us be people that walk with God through his word into the year. Would you stand as I pray? And then we're going to sing one final song, and it's a great song of commitment. It's a song of need, expressing our need. Because in all of this, it's not just about completing tasks, checking things off a to-do list. It's about saying, God, make me like Jesus. God, give me your heart. Help me be who you've made me to be and who you want me to be in sharing the good news, in fulfilling my ministry. So, Father, thank you for our morning. And I do pray for you to work in us, to be people that work at sharing our faith, to be a people that work at fulfilling our ministry. And God, so now before we sing this song of commitment, though, I want us to, again, come back to those words of Jesus from John 6, that unless you draw, no one can come to you. So God, right now, I pray that the people in our mind that we love, who, as far as we know, don't walk with you, don't believe in you, would you draw them? God, you know the names we're thinking of right now. God, would you draw? And would you give us words to express good news? Would you give us behavior that's in keeping with the good news? Or would you pray for that? Give us your heart for those far from you. Give us your heart for the ministry that you've called us to as well. God, for your glory and our good, we pray.